Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. Thank you all for tuning in and hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. This is your Liberty preview. A Friday Night Future with a kickoff set for 8 o'clock. It'll be on the ACC Network, and we'll let you know what we think about that. First, the Sunday's show got cut off. I don't know what happened. Got cut off on every platform. I upload to two different places, and it did the same thing on both of them. So I re-uploaded it. So iTunes, all the major platforms are going to have the full show if you want to go back. But we're just going to throw it at the end of this one. If you've already listened to that show, you can just hang on till after the close, and then it'll be there for you to listen to. It's about 15 minutes worth. So, and we didn't even finish fan feedback, cut fan feedback off. So there's quite a bit in there. And, you know, you don't have to listen. That's why we put it at the end. But there's some good stuff in there. LeBros, he left the program. We knew that already. But Coach kind of elaborated a little bit on what we didn't know, and that is that he went back home to be closer to family for personal reasons, and that was in his presser. The presser, you know, if there was a bunch of good stuff in there, I would have cut a montage for it. It's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. So I thought Hugh Freeze's presser, which I read instead of listened to, was probably a little bit more information than Coach's was. So anyways, we are going to get into all of that as far as Liberty goes. We'll give you our picks and we'll see who won last week. We're keeping score. I'm taking score. And also a cumulative, since we have 12 games, assuming we don't make a bowl game, we got 12 games. So we got to have a tiebreaker. Lowest score throughout the whole season wins. So that's how that's going to go. What are you giving me the side eye for? Huh? The hell is that all about?
Don't stand a chance.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. As soon as we clean that up a little bit. All right. As you all know, we do fan feedback. That's what the show is all about. We do it on Twitter. We do it on Facebook. We also do it live on the Spotify Green Room app. You can go there, download it. It's free, iOS or Android store. All you need is a username and password and an email address. Go there, download it, sign up today, follow us, and sign up for notifications. When we go live, you can get that notification. Some of you are getting them, some of you are not. But do it anyway. Do it now. So go ahead, sign up for that. You don't have to just listen to us. You can listen to anyone you want. And you can also do your own thing, which is cool. So it's a cool little platform. It's free. And a range of topics, anything you could imagine, is in there. So iOS or Android stores, go there now. Download it. Green Room, Spotify Green Room app. Okay. Formerly Locker Room app. You know, something that simple, Something that simple. And it doesn't matter if it's free or not. People are making money off of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what an easy... We tried to screw around with phone numbers and Skype numbers and all kinds of quirky things to try to get to do live stuff, live fan feedback and stuff. And this little app is so good. And if I had the brain to create such a thing, then I would do this podcast every day because I wouldn't have to work. But... here I sit, twice a week. Sorry. So, anyway, Joe, as we mentioned, Friday night showdown between Syracuse and Liberty. Liberty's going to come in to the Dome. As, they opened up as a 7-point favorite. I don't know what they're going to come into the Dome as, but they're a fringy top 25 team. They've pretty much dominated everybody. The last game against ODU, Malik Willis was responsible for 6 touchdowns. He completed 21 of 28 for 242, 4 touchdowns through the air. He also had 2 other touchdowns and 9 carries for 77 yards on the ground. Their defense held ODU to just 45 yards of offense in 0 points in the second half. Also, they finished with 5 sacks altogether. Kendi Charles recorded 3 of them. He leads the team in sacks with 4 through 3 games. Willis threw so far for the year 613 yards through the air. I think is that right? Crap. You know what? I don't think that's right. No, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. I went back and looked. It wasn't updated when I first looked at it, and I think I updated it. 71% completion rate. He averages 9 yards of completion, totaled 7 touchdowns so far, 0 interceptions. In fact, the Flames offense has yet to turn the ball over in 3 games, which is really good. So, they do struggle somewhat in the run game, with the exception of Willis. He's tucked it 34 times so far this year for 225 yards, 56 long, 6.6 yards a carry. And for the team's 8 total touchdowns on the ground, I think he has 4 of them. So that's really good. 6'1 junior, TJ Green, he's got 132 yards on 23 attempts with no touchdowns. 5'11 senior Joshua Mack has 40 carries for 127 yards and 1 touchdown. 6'2 senior Story Jackson, he leads the team in total tackles with 20, and another familiar name, Javon Scruggs, behind him with 16 total tackles. Liberty ranks 12th in total offense in the nation, only allowing 234 yards a game. Now, taking into consideration, Campbell, Troy, Old Dominion was their competition, and be that what it is, you know, take it with a grain of salt, I suppose. Joe, his name's Malik Willis. He's racked up 240 total yards of offense inside the Dome last year in their 38-20 win over the Orange. And this was out without fans, though, okay? So there was no fans in the Dome, if you remember. Now, Hugh Freeze was asked, how do you get your team ready for the atmosphere in the Dome? And he said, we don't take anything for granted. We will prepare like we did for away game at Troy with some crowd noise. But really, that is all that should be different to us. It might be a little bit louder. We don't expect to have people cheering for us. We get that. But that has nothing to do with our execution of our game plan and our effort. This is the only thing I'm concerned about. We'll prepare a little bit for some crowd noise, he says again, but it's more about execution and physical play. So this year, Joe, the factor is the crowd, okay? This is almost the same exact team, some familiar names that Joe's going to go over. Does it make a difference? Does it make that much of a difference?
You kind of already did.
Huh?
So you kind of already did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Realistically, that was one of the first things that I was going to hit up, was the fact that they haven't really played a lot of competition. To your point, beating Campbell, and Campbell's 1-2, and I think their only wins against Presbyterian. ODU's only win is against a D1AA school, I think Hampton. And Troy beat, I think, Southern, which is another, I mean, and
Southern what?
It was at Southern Miss. No, just Southern.
I know. Yeah. It was a joke.
And at Southern Miss. So the teams that they played really, I mean, we're going to be far and away their best competition. I mean, Troy has good teams here and there, and I know they played them kind of tough, but this is going to definitely be the toughest team that they've played up to this point, but this is probably going to be the toughest team that we've played up to this point as well. So, and I think a lot of what Hugh Freeze says was basically because, I mean, Liberty last year, they went 10-1. Their only loss was at NC State, 15-14, one loss. So
one loss, one point. Away.
Yeah. One loss, 1 point. They were 1 point, you know, 2 points away from being undefeated for the whole season last year. And I know we were part of that. We played against them. And this team, again, most of them are back. So, I mean, they're used to winning. So I think that's what he means when he says that, you know, it's not really going to affect them. But at the same time, we really don't know, I mean, how many games they played last year, away games, you know, that had fans. So,
and they played stiff competition last year, though. They did play. They played Syracuse. You mentioned NC State. I think they beat Wake Forest.
No, at Virginia Tech they won.
At Virginia Tech, that's right. Yep. That's right. Yep.
And they ended up winning their bowl game against Coastal Carolina, I believe, was
they were undefeated at the time. Yeah.
Yes, at the time, Liberty won that 37-34 in overtime for their bowl game. So, as far as last year goes, yeah, I mean, they overachieved, and you know, there's. Looking just back at last year, there's really, I mean, it's pretty obvious why Malik Willis came in this season as a Heisman candidate, possibly, because, I mean, last year he killed it and they almost went undefeated, and here we are this year. So it's not going to be easy whatsoever. The one thing about this team that I noticed, and again, this could just be the teams they're playing against. I know they did only beat Troy by 8, but. Their defense looks really, really solid. It looks like they hold, I think it looks like an average of 58 yards on the ground for the first three games and, less than 200 yards passing. So that's what their defense has done against the teams that they played against. And, Malik Willis is obviously, I mean, he's dominated, the touches for the most part, at Troy, at Old Dominion, the two games where he played, most of the game, he had between his drop back and his throws and his runs, he had, I think, 37 and 38 touches, you know, a piece. So that's really what you're looking at. But I mean, it's tough because he leads the team in rushing, not attempts, but yards. And it's just tough when any drop back can become a running play. And that's really what you see against this guy. And, Old Dominion saw it last week with his 6 touchdowns, 4 passing, 2 running, and you know, we got to do, you know, what we can to slow that down, make the other players other than him beat us.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, and he's their guy. They're gonna have to come up with a little something more creative than that, and we'll see how it goes. But this guy, I mean, Liberty is. Was he a transfer at some point from somewhere?
He was a transfer from Auburn.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So Liberty with a gem right there. I mean, this kid could probably play, knowing what we know now, obviously. I mean, there's a number of teams that would love to have Malik Willis on their team. And he's athletic, man. The problem is if you shut him down, who's going to step up? And, I mean, he leads the team in passing. He leads the team in rushing. You know, he's one of those guys. So he could get you either way. But I think that, you know, don't really know what their defense is like. They're ranked high. But like we said, the competition just isn't like anything great, in my opinion. That's not trying to take anything away from them, because I mean, they've pretty much dominated. But
yeah.
When you talk about Syracuse, then they're going to know what Syracuse is going to want to do. You know, you're going to feed Sean Tucker. You're going to feed Sean Tucker. Well, the one thing they did against Rutgers that they can't do against Liberty would be to give up on the run if it's not working, you know, either right away or if it fades. They start to stop it. You got to keep shoving it down their throat and wearing them down. I mean, that was one big factor against Rutgers, I think. Missed opportunity there. They just stopped giving them the ball. So,
yeah.
With that said,
that can't happen.
No, no.
I mean, I think we know, based upon what Dino said yesterday, and based upon what we saw and everything like that. I mean, I think that everyone's kind of on the same page as to what you had alluded to on Sunday, the last podcast we had. That Tommy, I think everyone at this point thinks that Tommy's going to be
the man.
Tommy's going to be the starter, right?
Yeah.
I guess my whole thing is that the leash has to go once he stops running and making himself a runner, and then obviously Liberty ends up figuring it out, and then they start bringing pressure, and now he's getting pressure in the pocket, and it's just overall tough. He's got to be. I do like his long ball over Garrett Schrader, and obviously his knowledge of the system and the playbook. But he's got to be able to make his legs a threat against a team like this. And this is really what makes me nervous about it, is because, you know, we saw him run against Ohio, we saw him run against Albany, but when we played against Rutgers, pretty solid Power Five defense. To me, he kind of, you know, tensed up a little bit and kind of just handed it off every single time. And what that turned into was Rutgers figuring that out, stopping the run game, and then it was Tommy in the pocket, and that didn't end up working out in the second half either. So we need him to be able to use his legs and make plays and be able to at least keep the defense honest if we're going to run, you know, an RPO type situation. You can't sit there and just hand the ball off every time. You got to be able to make your legs a weapon. Otherwise, you know, you're running the play for no reason. So as long as he can do that and, you know, just limit the mistakes inside the pocket, then I'm cool with it. But there's got to be some type of leash at some point. And I remember last year, the Liberty game was decently close. And even them last year at the end of the game kind of started pushing our defense around because we weren't really we were on and off the field on offense. And I remember our defense getting tired and not being able to stop the run, especially with Malik Willis as an option. So, I don't know if Tommy or Garrett or anybody has any type of, you know, they want to see what an RPO looks like and how you can use your legs to your advantage. And they can look no further than across from the sidelines come Friday night, because
yeah,
he's going to be a problem. That's for sure. The last thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just got to be. And the one thing this year that I've liked, you know, for the most part is that, you know, we've picked and choose when to be fast. And we haven't put ourselves in positions, even though there's been teams that have won the clock as far as time of possession.
They've done much better this year.
Much better this year. Yeah. Not putting your defense, you know, out in bad situations. So hopefully that'll be the difference. And then obviously you've got to kind of clean that stuff up. Liberty, you can kind of see a situation where Liberty's basically getting better. I think they had 12 penalties for 98 yards against Campbell week one, turned into 6 for 65, then turned into 5 for 50 last week.
So they're cleaning it up.
That's a team where you can see, yeah, they're cleaning up the penalties. And to what you said about the turnovers, I did see that they did have a turnover against Old Dominion. It was a fumble. It could have been special teams. So what you said about the offense not, you know, recording a turnover still might be true. But they have one turnover in
Fair enough. It is their offense.
But nonetheless, that's just one turnover in three games. And I guess really the other thing is, this is as good as this defense is, they've only caused two.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, as good as this defense has been as far as holding opponents to you know, points and yards, they've only gotten two turnovers or forced two turnovers, so to speak. So
you mentioned special teams. Hugh Freeze, that was one of his, he was stuck on the special team stuff a little bit, especially after last game. Says they cost him 10 points, and obviously they didn't need him to win, but that's going to be something that they're going to focus on too. And I mean, I don't honestly know what TJ Green can do and how good he is. I mean, I just there's just not enough out there really to tell. But he is averaging 5.7 yards a carry. So he's only carried it 23 times because Malik Willis, I mean, they have a game plan for Malik Willis and he's their guy. So, but he does carry the ball pretty decent on 23 carries. It's pretty good. The next guy's Mack, who's this? Joshua Mack. That's right. And he's carried 40 times for 127. So, as I mentioned earlier, 3.2 yards a carry. So,
right.
You know, yep. The crowd, right? So we're going to have a crowd there.
They got to be there.
That's the Otto's Army's trying to turn this into a whiteout for Friday night.
Okay.
So go there, wear your white. The Otto's Army has been on it at the Dome for two games. This being the third of the three game home stretch, and see if they can turn out. Even when the locals weren't showing up, Otto's Army, to their credit, was there. So, and they've been bananas. So hopefully they can turn this thing into a whiteout and bring the noise, and we can have, you know, we can create some chaos. Even if you got to have them burn a couple timeouts, it's huge. So let alone just the momentum shift, period, which we just didn't have last year. I mean, so I do feel, you know, I felt like I did for this game, like I did going into Rutgers. I just don't know what, I mean, I guess I feel like I know what Syracuse's game plan is, but we just haven't seen it, right? So this is going to be a game where you're implementing, like, your, this is it. This is going to be, you know, your basic game plan for the season. This is going to be your cookie cutter game to where going forward, we're going to have a better idea of what this team is about. And it's all about, you know, like Hugh Freeze was talking about his team, you know, it's about execution and physical play. And Syracuse has been physical, but the execution has been a problem, especially with the penalties. So this is a team that can force you into penalties. Albany doesn't strike me as a team that could force you into 16 penalties for 164 yards, yet they did. So that's that's going to be huge to keep an eye on that and make sure, and for the coaches and the players, that's going to be have to be something that's always on their mind. Every snap, every down, every play, just that's it. So
Well, and where they're going to get you to is, I mean, one of their their leading receiver, Demario Douglas, has 16 catches to the next top two, or like 6 and 7 catches. So he's got them by double. So when it comes to a sure-handed receiver that it looks like Malik Willis likes to go to, Demario Douglas, obviously DJ Stubbs is a name you remember from last year. CJ Daniels stepped up and had two touchdowns the last game. But when you look at it predominantly, out of their offense, they have 76 pass attempts to 129 rushes for the season.
Yeah, so a lot of designed runs, right? I mean,
yeah, it's a designed runs for the quarterback, but it's overall a run heavy team anyway. You still take away Malik Willis's runs, and they still run more than they throw. So that's really where it's going to come into. You know, it's obviously the secondary discipline. Our secondary has looked good, though they are young. The way that their rushing attack is, we're going to have to step up as far as defensive backs, and they're going to have to step up and make tackles and help the run game against Malik Willis and some of these other running backs. And you just don't want them to, you know, kind of get beat.
They're going
to.
They
got like, I mean, they have 7 receivers on their team that have a catch of 30 yards or more this year. So you can see where they get the guys. I mean, they set up the play actions. They set up kind of the bigger throws. And that's really the one thing is being able for our D-backs are just going to have to be disciplined enough to be able to, you know, stay on their guy or stay in their zone, all while being able to come up and help with run and hope. I mean, you got to be able to stop and look out for that play action. And that's really where they get you.
They're going to have to come out and we got to come out and establish the run. They're going to have to come out and establish the pass because, you know, playing to each other's strengths or to each team's strength on that end, they're going to have to open up the lanes for Malik Willis. They're going to, like you said, the play action, they have to establish the pass for that. And if they do, that's where they could be dangerous because then you don't know. Mm-hmm. And with us, if you just pound the rock, I mean, eventually Sean Tucker's going to break it.
RPOs are tough. And playing against running quarterbacks are tough. So, you know, we're going to need everyone to be disciplined and to do what they're supposed to be doing as far as the calls per play and what gaps and holes they're supposed to be at and supposed to be protecting. And if we can do that and force them to throw, I mean, he has been sacked 8 times this year in 3 games against the competition that we have seen. I have to imagine that we have a better pass rush than all of these 3 teams.
Absolutely,
So when it comes down to it, it does look like if you can keep him in the pocket, then you can get him every once in a while. So I think that's really part of the key is that, like, when he does drop back, like, you want to keep him in the pocket. You want him to throw. I mean, he's completing it at 71%.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
But at the same time, his average throw is 8.9. Yeah. So you can tell that he's basically – I mean, his longest pass is 40. So, you know, so as much as I say there's, you know, 6-7 receivers that have over 30 yards as far as their longest catch, the longest one is 40. So these aren't, you know, game-breaking 73-yard touchdowns like Tommy threw last week, albeit Albany. But it looks like he kind of – again, he's got full control of this offense. So it looks like he has no problem checking down and making the right reads – and keeping the drives alive. You mean making the short passes and then being able to run. And you know, he's got full control of that offense. This is the second year, and he's a Heisman candidate for a reason coming into the season. And yeah, that's just, I mean, it's scary because we're going to be going against a really, really good quarterback. So we got to be on our P's and Q's and watch that stuff. But that offense can beat us in multiple ways. And the defense is going to be kind of a wait and see, right? I mean, I spotted out the stats, but again, we don't know what kind of offenses that these guys are going against. So, about, you know, holding teams to less than, you know, 250 yards of offense almost every single game, at least on average, that's pretty good. And 37 points in three games really is pretty good as well.
Yeah, I mean, so, and for what it's worth, I mean, a quarterback rating of almost 180 is... I mean,
it's because he's not making mistakes.
Yeah, he's not making mistakes.
You know, right. I mean, that's what it is. Those interceptions, they break it down. You know, those incompletions, instead of, you know, throwing it away and being able to use your feet to get 1 or 2 yards, you know, like, that stuff is what saves that QBR rating for quarterbacks like him.
So, yeah, I mean, like you said,
34 rushing attempts in three games is, I mean, that's pretty good. I'm talking about 11 rushing attempts. I mean, I don't know how many of those are
designed or flushed.
Designed, or if it's a him running on a pass play. But
so, my one unknown is, before we go into picks, is defense, and I just guess that we're gonna have to see, because it's hard to gauge. Really, I mean, we saw Syracuse's defense. We know they're good. But
that. Comes to, that was going to kind of come to my next point.
Okay.
Is Dewey?
I think so. I think they did a good job Rutgers, dude. Why?
But Rutgers, to me, I mean, we talked about
I mean,
about
I understand
Rutgers.
That they're
it.
Mostly...
It's not like their offense is great.
I understand.
It's a Power 5 team.
I understand that. But, well, hold on a second, though, too, because
almost...
Syracuse is... Their defense, by the way, is ranked 29th in the nation, total defense. They're only allowing 270. Liberty is 12th. Mm-hmm. They are only allowing 234 yards a game. And obviously total defense is calculated on more than that, but that's the one, that's the easy one to compare to. Syracuse 29th, allowing 270. So in points too, go off of that, and I could look that up, but go on with your point.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, it's like, that would be like Liberty's fans saying that after their 3-0 start, like, we know our defense is good. Look at the stats that they put up.
Like, I mean, I think it's different.
Like I said, Rutgers doesn't really impress me that much. I'm not going to lie to you.
Rutgers' offense doesn't, but...
That's what I meant. But that's what we're talking about, right? The defense.
Yeah.
That's
my
thing.
I understand.
It's this great chance that, like, neither of these two teams out of the six teams that they've played has played a really good offense. I mean, go look at the offensive stats. Go see where the offensive rankings are for Rutgers and Albany and some of these other teams. Troy. I mean, these teams aren't world beaters on offense. I know Troy usually has a pretty good defense no matter what. Every once in a while they get good quarterback and they have good seasons. But Friday is going to be interesting because you're talking about four games in, and we're going to see what each team has figured out about their teams and the opponents that they played. You know, have they just coasted? You know, I mean, I think as a Syracuse fan, I think we all know player, coaches, everything, that we probably should have won that Rutgers game. So there's probably a good chance that this game should be two teams at 3-0 playing against probably back half or lower than average offenses and trying to figure out what they actually are. It's really the way that I would look at it. The defense, that whole game, I mean, is Liberty's defense for real? Is our offense a little bit better than we thought? Like, that's all questions that are going to get answered.
Well, yeah, we knew that.
Really, I think this is really like, as much as we've said every week, well, is a question going to be answered? Oh, well, I mean, is a quarterback controversy going to be answered in Ohio? Well, they only gave Schrader the last drive. Okay, what about Rutgers? Didn't play at all, right? So it's like all these things where it's a situation where you just don't know. And I think that this game, and it kind of makes sense. I mean, you wish you'd like to know more answers, but this game, more than any other game going to ACC, this is really the game that's going to give you the answers.
Liberty allows 12 points a game, 12.3, and Syracuse allows 16.7.
Right.
So, I mean,
which realistically, I mean, if you're just adding up the points, I mean, Albany had a pick six on us. Really didn't go against our, you know, our defense, but true. I mean, nonetheless, I mean, I get what you're saying. It's close, but at the end of the day, these defenses haven't played against great offenses.
No, they
this
haven't.
Is going to be the best this, offense that we've played against.
This is going to be probably, the best for them too.
Right.
Yeah. It's just what is the game plan for Syracuse? So, and we'll
what
see.
What is real life? Who is?
Yeah.
Who,
yes. Exactly.
Real?
Which
what
is why
is real, right?
To the point that we made, you articulated real well on how you would like the games to be played with Albany, Ohio, Rutgers, then Liberty. When you progressively see a tougher team until you get into ACC play, we've just kind of been scattered around. You know,
right, which is why we can't get any questions answered.
Exactly.
I think that
we
would have been able to, if we would have been able to put this in chronological order the way we wanted it to, you know, aka Albany, Ohio, Rutgers, leading into today, then I think that every week some more questions would have been answered to the point, because you can't, you know, you go from Ohio, don't know how good they are, what happened, to Rutgers, to now Albany, which is a D1AA school. I mean, you probably could have put in Jacobian Morgan and Lampson and Markowitz, and we probably still could have completed those screen passes and handed the ball off to Tucker to win that game. So
what did you make out of the presser with the injuries? Taj Harris, Garrett Williams, and what coach had to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was another one, too. Jahad Carter. Completely forgot about him. He didn't play either. So, I mean, in one instance, it was even a little bit more impressive. Obviously, again, Albany, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But not having Kingsley Jonathan, Garrett Williams, Jahad Carter, Taj Harris, Chris Elmore, like, those are five guys that, like, make impacts, right? So, hopefully, they're all going to be good to go. I think Jahad Carter, Kingsley Jonathan, and Garrett Williams were all in pads just in case. And obviously Chris Elmore and Taj Harris weren't. So I don't even think they mentioned Taj Harris, actually. I don't think anybody asked a question about Taj Harris.
I was listening at work. Normally I sit down and record it and listen, and I pay close attention, but I was listening at work, so I honestly couldn't tell you. I know that the depth chart came out, right? So you've got Tommy at the one again. I don't think that anybody was surprised by that. Tucker, then Lutz. And then, you know, I don't know what kind of games they play here with the depth chart, but obviously Garrett Williams is on there and Taj Harris is on there. So, I mean, it's just whatever. I don't put any weight on any of that with the injured players being on the depth chart. I just don't. So
yeah. Well, either way, I mean, we've known we know how Dino rolls.
Jahad
right?
Carter's on there too, by the way.
What's that?
Jahad's on there too, starting. So
yeah, I mean, we know how Dino rolls. If there's anything that he can kind of withhold as far as information for the opponent, then he's going to do it. And that's why he's not going to name a starter out loud. Most people probably won't know until the day of or the morning. So he's going
to. What did he allude to about Luke Benson? Because, I mean, he was on crutches, dude. That's never good. You don't just come out on crutches.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but he was still out there. He did seem like he was in an okay situation. And sometimes, like, same thing with, like, the soft casts or the walking boots or, like, anything like that. A lot of times it's just kind of, you know, kind of a pre-medical, like, just-in-case type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to, you know, basically you're just going to fortify your leg. We're going to put ice on it. We're going to give you this crutch, everything until, you know, the end of the game. We can get an MRI and get all that stuff done. I think it was a positive that he came out of the locker room, was out on the bench, and he seemed, you know, into the game, animated, didn't seem like he was down or like it was going to be something to where it was like a season long, really, really, you know, bad. But, you know, even sprains and stuff like that can linger. So it's just, it's unfortunate because obviously with college and everything like that, it's just, it's very difficult to get out of the coaches and everything like that, like what's really going on with the players, right? You never even know sometimes, like,
yeah,
right. They're like lower body injury, upper body injury. Like, you don't even really know. Like, just sometimes when players are out, they miss multiple games. They come back. We never even know what they missed the games for. We're just kind of speculating, right? So that's just the,
it's the nature of it. All right.
Yeah, this is the nature of where college football is right now. So,
on to the picks. By the way, nobody hit 62-24.
Yeah, that's
kind of the fans. So,
did anybody get 62 for Syracuse?
No, I don't think so. That's an odd number, or it's not an odd number. It's an even number, but it's an odd number. You know what I'm saying? All right. So I know. It was a joke, kind of. It was a bad one. All right. So
I'm used to those from you.
I know you are. So, Joe, you're going to take the week. I had 38-10, obviously, with 48-13. You're going to take that. So, congratulations. You're,
what did I
guess? You guessed 48-13.
We should have been better. We should have known better. Knowing that it was going to be a quarterback competition against a D1AA school, and there's quarterbacks out there trying to win a job.
We should have had this. So here's something. It was 38-10 at one point, and I'm like, okay, don't score again. But it was in the
second quarter.
It was in the first. Yeah, it was in the second quarter. Yeah, it was in the first half. So anyway, you know, I knew right then. I was like, done. I was just hoping for a rain delay or a thunderstorm, but obviously it wouldn't have mattered. So anyway, I picked first last time. I know this because I remember having this conversation. So you are up, Joe, against Liberty at home, 8:00 Friday night, prime time. What do you got?
Well, currently the spread is 6. Drop the point.
Okay.
So that means that there are some people out there betting Syracuse, again, this is a weird. We're at a weird place, Sean, because we have two quarterbacks that can keep us in games, right? Like, there's for the last 2 years or however many years, it's been like
one.
If our starter gets hurt,
yeah, we're done.
Done, right? Yeah. Like, we don't have anybody else to turn to. Now we're at a point where, like, if our starter's not playing well, we have something that might be able to come in and turn the tide, right? So that's like,
at least we think so.
They're not far apart. I'm telling you right now.
No, I mean about the leash length.
Oh, well, yeah. But, I mean, you would like to think, right? When he talks about he thinks he's got two players, then you'd like to think that if one's not playing well, and the game's on the line, you need a boost. You know, you got to get this guy in. With that said, I think that the crowd is going to be huge this week. I think early game, especially first 4 weeks, if we get Thursday or especially a Friday night game, I think that's an advantage for us because it takes away all the Saturday morning. You know, I mean, because realistically, if this is Saturday, what is it, a noon kickoff, 2:00 something, then there's a bunch of people that can make an excuse not to go, right?
So, and then it's on the ACC network, so no one's going to get to watch it until halfway through the first quarter if it's a 2:00 game.
Yeah, exactly, right? So definitely a situation where there's going to be a lot of eyes on this game. You're pretty much in a primetime situation on a Friday night, not too many games on. I think the crowd's going to be huge. I think that that our team's going to they remember last year, so they're going to be chomping at the bit, especially this defense, to get back at this team. And it gave, obviously, another year for this Tony White defensive coordinator to kind of figure out this offense a little bit. You know, we did see the same thing last year. So I think we got an advantage on the defense. I think it's going to be a close game, low scoring. I'm going to go Syracuse 27, Liberty 24.
Okay, choosing Cuse. Okay, so I'm not going to lie.
Homer.
I had this one as chalked up as a loss in my preseason picks. And I'm going to do, which
can
I had.
Can you keep it there?
No, I'm not. But there may come a time where I may just have to go against you to get the extra 5 bonus points for when, just to try something. Because you crushed me. By the way, the difference in points last game was I had 33, you had 20. So that's a huge difference. So with that said, man, this is a difficult one to pick, Joe. You know, I'd almost rather go first, too, by the way. I almost feel like that's easier.
You always get on me about going first.
I know. I think it's almost easier to go first. But yeah, all of those things you said with the reiteration of the crowd, I'm hoping that's going to be the difference for the Orange. I'm hoping, you know, Friday evening, night, people are going to want to, you know, get out of work and go to this game. I know I'd be just primed for it. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Primed, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of work.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah.
You skip the freaking shower. That, you go.
How good were they last year, right?
Yes, right.
And there's a hatred. There's a Syracuse hatred for this team, anyway, internally.
Yes,
that's stewed up in the last 2 years. But
right. So I mean, for reasons which, you know, Syracuse has their own issues. So
the reasons shall not be named.
It was like morality issues, and here we are, just you know, we had a basketball coach retire for issues. So or not retire, but resign. Excuse me. You know, that's a wash.
Where were those people there?
Yeah, it's a wash. Don't get me started. Anyway, yeah. All right, those person. It's mainly, well, I don't know. Maybe it's more than one. Anyways, no. I digress. It's time to pick. Yes. All right,
Sorry,
it's all good. I'm going to go. I'm going to go 24. Syracuse, 24. Liberty, 21. I like your 3-point spread, okay? So I'm undercutting you, bro. And I'm going Cuse, 24-21. So
what is the Price is Right? What's going on,
man? Closest without going over. So, you know, look, I don't think it's going to be some, like, you know, high profile shootout.
Crazy shootout. Yeah,
I don't, but I could see it going both ways. So, I mean, it is what it is. And I got a bad feeling about that pick already. I feel like I should have went a little bit higher, but that's fine.
I mean, if you look at the stats and you look at the defenses, it's like put up or shut up. I mean, even Vegas right now has this lined up as, I think the over-under is 52.5.
Okay. That's good. That makes me feel a little better.
So it's a situation where when you look at these teams and where their defenses are, I mean, it looks like the offenses are going to have a hard time scoring. But we both just went through the fact that they probably haven't played a bunch of really good offenses. So,
hey, so nothing like getting primed up though, and getting ready. To that point though, and I don't want to start. We got to wrap this up. But to that point though, is Syracuse behind a little bit on getting that offense set and established with kind of the bouncing around that they've done with the quarterbacks? I mean, puts them behind a little bit, right? I mean, does it affect the offensive line? I mean, you know, it'd be a good question for Lasker. I mean, I'm sure he'd say, yeah, it might. You know, it definitely could. So,
no, I mean, I'm sure it does. I mean, you saw it last game with just, I mean, albeit Service just changed from right tackle to center. But
yeah,
that fumble, the snap that he just flew by Schrader. Obviously, he thought that Schrader said something. So, I mean, even down to a cadence, I think that Mike did. He did mention that when it comes down to that kind of stuff and having to get prepared for a game for two quarterbacks, because you know you got different plays that they're calling. They even down to the cadence is different, and that's a real thing.
So yeah, oh, absolutely.
Realistically, who knows if these penalties, if some of these penalties, as far as false starts and all that stuff, that we've seen on the offense for the past 2-3 weeks, if that has anything to do with that. I mean, but at the same time, the penalties have been all over the place with special teams, defense, and offense. And if I'll tell you right now, if they don't clean that up in just the turnovers,
they're done.
Then, I mean, this is a problem.
Yeah,
Liberty is definitely a team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes, right?
Yeah, they're well-disciplined. Yes. They're not making a lot of mistakes. They've cleaned it up from the first
game.
Well, they've cleaned it up. I mean, they've gotten better from their first game to their third game. We got worse. So, I mean, that's a big problem. So we're just going to have to see what happens. Look, stick around after the close of the show where the rest of last show will play. Okay? So apologize about that, but that will play right after the close. You can finish up listening to that. Like I said at the beginning, thank you, all of you, for hanging out with us. Huge game. Gotta go. Gotta get to 3-1. Gotta get to 3-1. Very important. And we'll see what we can do. Go Orange for Joe.
Let's go.
I'm Sean. We're out of here.
Peace.
All right. Next. At KD Racing 15. Discipline is very poor. Goes back to another example of poor coaching. Was not impressed with Schrader's performance against a not good D1AA school. Only good drive was in garbage time of the fourth. His mechanics are a little off, and you can tell he still needs to learn the playbook. So I agree to some extent, but I think all in all, at the end of the day, he played pretty good. He had a freaking, he had a ball hiked to him, and he's got his damn head turned. Talking to a receiver, you know, I mean, what could have come of that drive? I mean, that stuff is he lost 20 something yards on that. So, there was a couple of those things, a couple of miscues. Obviously he's still learning the playbook a little bit, and the mechanics is, you know, look, the kid's been throwing the ball and doing this since he was in Pop Warner. I don't know. You're not going to really change the mechanics of someone at this point. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, sometimes you get these comments and you'd like them to just allude a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Like what? Yeah.
I'd
exactly.
like to think, well, I mean, I'd like to think that I know football pretty well, but I couldn't watch that game and say that it looks like Schrader needs to learn more of the playbook. I don't know what the playbook is. I mean, that's hard to come out and kind of say, realistic.
That's true. You're right. To realistically say it, but I imagine that's his downfall right now, in my opinion. And that's just what I've thought. That's just been my inkling the whole time, is that he doesn't have the playbook down totally yet. And I guess you're right. Really, there is nothing that I saw that would tell me that, like just watching that game.
But I just think it's a little bit more than that. I mean, I think that DeVito's been here forever, and he just got here. So, I mean, he's still trying to figure out how people play. He just came in the spring. And again, we have talked about how it's kind of a difficult playbook, so there's a lot of things he's trying to catch up on. And again, I think to your point, there were situations like in Ohio where, I mean, you're just trying to win the game, and coach, he knows what Tommy can do. He's probably more confident because, you know, Garrett's new. So again, it's hard for me to come out and say, I mean, could be the playbook. There could be a lot of things, but I think it's just basically being comfortable. And Tommy's been here for what, 4 years, 5 years. So, I think it comes down to a comfortability factor at this point, and just a knowing somebody a little bit more or a little bit better. That's pretty much it. So
that's the offense too, right? It's the guys around him.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. It's not just coming down to one person.
Right. Zach on Facebook, you got to get back to top fan status there, buddy. This was the hardest blowout I've ever watched. Dino's. Is that not true? I mean, I feel like that's so true. Dino's tenure lasting past this year is not looking good. Rumor around the board is Marone has expressed interest in coming back. Take it with a grain of salt. I'd like Dino, but to be that sloppy is inexcusable. So, yeah, it was tough to watch, and it's because of that. It's because of that, the penalties and things like that. And obviously, most of that falls on the coaches. But, you know, the players know what not to do. And I guess it comes down to situational awareness on a lot of that stuff, and totally unnecessary against a team that you can totally dominate just physically. So I guess that that's what was frustrating about it.
Yeah. No, and we had that conversation too, right? Where, you know, there's fans that are talking about Doug Marone and talking about Dino's on the hot seat and everything like that, you know?
Still too early, in my opinion, for that talk. But I see it, you know.
Oh, 100%.
I see it all over social media. That doesn't. Social media is not real life, though. So, for those of you who haven't figured it out yet.
Right. So, but, you know, we talked about that the other day, right, when we were talking about Doug Marone and everything. And I just said, you know, there's a lot of people that just, they think that this program really hasn't grown that much. But, I mean, you saw the thing that came up on the screen about Dino's record so far, right? 44 and 44.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe it's the years. I don't know. And we'll never know. But, you know, you got fans calling for Doug Marone, wanting Doug Marone back and all this other stuff. When,
what was his record, Joe?
I believe it was 25 and 25 after 4 years.
I thought for sure you'd had that. You keep going.
So it's just one of those things where, I mean, the Robinson era and everything was so bad back then that Doug Marone going, you know, 25 and 25 and going to two bowl games, you know.
Yep, you're right. You nailed it. 25 and 25.
Kind of at six. What were they? 6 and 6, 7 and 5. Like,
never 4 and 8, 8 and 5, 5 and 7, 8 and 5. Does that sound right? That's what this says.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, yeah. I mean, and what did he do after his 4 years? He only got hired as a head coach at the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
For going 25 and 25 for 4 years.
And then Jacksonville, right? And he went to Jacksonville.
And now I believe he's a coach at Alabama. But at the end of the day, I mean, we were in such desperate measures that Doug Marone came in and went 25 and 25 and got this little 2-star Ryan Nassib from Pennsylvania. And Alec Lemon became, and Marcus Sales became like some of the better receivers. Alec Lemon, he broke records at Syracuse,
yeah,
for receiving records.
Yeah.
And he went 25 and 25. And I think that was in the Big East. So it's a situation. It's definitely, he was definitely in the Big East. I'm sorry.
It was, 100%, yeah.
Because so, and he got a job as a head coach in the NFL. Now here we are with Dino, five years and what, 2-3 games, and he's 500 and people are calling for his head. So, again, this is kind of what happens. I mean, kind of when Pasqualoni got ran out, right? I mean, you got to give somebody a little bit of time other than 3 or 4 years to be able to get something going and get a culture going. And, you know, we are better off now. I mean, you're talking about 500 in the ACC versus 500 in the Big East. So I think that we're better off now than what we were, or just as good off now as where we were, or if not better, when Doug Marone went to the NFL. And it's sad that, you know, you look at it and it's the same thing, but they're judged at two different scales because of, you know, just a little taste of some bowl games or a 10-3 season.
So. Well, now he's 45 and 44.
Well, yeah, now he's over 5. Yeah.
So, for what it's worth,
And I know some fans are going to be like, "Oh, well, let's see where he is at the end of the year, right?"
Well, I mean, that's fair. That's fair because I mean, I'm worried about it myself, I guess. So, let's see. Okay, speaking of. Anthony on Facebook, Dino should be let go in December. If this program can't recruit a P5 level with the rest of the ACC, then get used to 4 and 8 until 2032. Not happy. Anthony not happy with the production Dino's putting out. But look, I have given Coach Babers the benefit of the doubt. I like him a lot. I think culturally, he has been excellent for this program. I just wonder, some of me wonders if he's, I mean, and this is just outside looking in, if he's a little bit, how do I say? I don't want to say lenient. I don't know. But maybe he's a little bit, maybe he needs to yell more. Maybe he needs to be a little bit tougher, a little bit hard-nosed. And just don't, he doesn't come across like that to me. And I think that maybe he should be. And I think he should definitely show it more. And he started to a little bit. You know, obviously we've seen his frustrations in the loss, especially to Rutgers. I mean, he was not happy. And with that said, I want to see a meaner, more tough Dino Babers instead of the father figure that's kind of seems like he's, you know, going around patting everybody on the head. I mean,
that's tough, dude.
I know.
Well, that's the thing.
I know there's a fine line. There's a fine line between being both of those now.
Well, I mean, and I guess my thing is that I wonder if, you know, the older coaches or the more, you know, I mean, he comes from a military family, so I'm sure he's no nonsense.
Yeah.
And then you see some nonsense and you're like, what's going on?
Exactly.
And you wonder sometimes if it's just the state of, you know, the athletes nowadays.
Are they fragile? Are they too freaking fragile? Like, come on, man. Look, like, I mean,
I saw a quote the other day from Nick Saban talking about, you know, you see these high school players, you know, transferring 3-4 high schools in their high school. He's like, I don't want them. They can't come over. They can't withcome adversity. He's like, I want guys that are going to come in and overcome adversity. You go to Alabama, you know, you might not start right from the get-go because you're going against the best of the best. And are you going to transfer or are you going to come in and develop in 2 or 3 years? And, you know, for Nick Saban, he can say that and he can follow through and he can do that because he puts national championships on the board, on the table, on the plate for Alabama. Sometimes it's tough to be able to come off like that at Syracuse and you can't even guarantee a bowl season. So, you wonder sometimes how coaches like that are trans. I don't know. Transforming the way they coach a little bit to be able to
listen. Maybe, okay,
you know what I'm saying.
I mean, understand what you're saying, but just through time, coaches were the people who. They help parent away from home. You get yelled at by your coach. You either getting yelled at by your parents or your coach growing up.
No, yeah.
And maybe you got a little butt hurt, but wasn't that motive? Didn't that used to be motivation for kids?
It's challenging them, right? Like, yes. That's what you're supposed to. Yeah.
Yes. Right. I mean,
you want to challenge them to get better, to do better, to learn. Yes, 100%.
And I mean, you don't got to be a jerk about it, obviously. But as right. These kids get older, they need to feel it, they need to hear it, and they need to accept it. Because your coach isn't going to lie to you. He's going to tell you the truth, whether it hurts your feelings or not, and it's supposed to make you better. And I'm not even talking. We're on a totally different subject. I'm not saying that this is what's happening, but at the end of the day.
Who cares? Go with it.
Yeah, the kids are coddled through high school now so much that they're almost out of reality, and there's not a lot of accountability sometimes. So it comes down to personality at the end of the day. Instead of being taught, it's either in you or it's not.
You can go to college, and if you don't like your situation, you can hit the transfer portal and that. Right.
Yeah. Oh, pack up your toys and go home.
The whole system is set up for them to be able to just do this.
Yes, because they're
fight through adversity.
Because right? they're brought up through high school. Some of them, I'm just saying, this happens to think that their shit doesn't stink,
if that's done on purpose.
do what?
Wonder if that's done on purpose.
It could be, but anyways, my point is, I want to see a tougher Dino Babers out there, and I hope.
Yep.
I hope we can clean up the penalties. Look, that stuff starts in practice. I remember when we used to do that crap. Like you ran, you're like, "Jeez, I'm crow. I don't want to run. Yep. That's the worst. Yep. That's the worst. Make them run. I don't know what else to say about it.
My dad punish saw them. my co- Yeah, my dad saw my coach grab my face mask, and for the next time I saw him, he didn't. What he asked me what I did wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So,
yeah.
What'd you do?
That's what my mom would say when she saw me running. What were you running for? I'm 30 seconds late, or you know, whatever. You ran. That's what you did, and it sucked. And you dealt with it. And your coach loved you no matter what. At the end of the day,
and
anyway.
And then maybe you weren't late next time.
Well, I lived right across the street, too, so there's no excuse for it.
God, you really had no excuse.
Seriously.
Hopefully you learned.
I did learn. I'm not late to anything anymore. See how that works? That's the freaking truth, too. I'm never late to anything anymore. All right?
There you go.
That's what happens. All right, look, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate all of you so much. Thanks for coming in. Help spread the word. Tell them. Tell your friends. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out of here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.